Good morning, Trinity Church. I wish I could say welcome here to Trinity, but I'm looking at a fairly empty auditorium, and this is a strange feeling. It's a strange time right now. I do have my wife, Beth, right there in the front row. Hey, dear, so if you hear an amen in the middle of the message, you'll know where it came from. There you go. And Charles is back there in the sound booth. Thank you, Charles, for your faithful service back there, getting this video made. Even though we cannot gather together for a few weeks here because of this coronavirus pandemic, it's not going to keep us from worshiping. It's not going to keep us from serving. It's not going to keep us from praising the Lord, and it's not going to keep us from studying His Word. So that's what we're doing this morning. We have created this video so that we can continue right on with our sermon series. And so thanks for picking this up. I hope that you will stick with us. We'll follow through with this series. Read the passages we go through it, and let's just trust God's word to minister to us, even individually in our homes through a video, just like we would if we were here in corporate worship together. So let's pause for a minute. If you'll just pray with me, and then we'll jump into God's word together. Lord God, we just thank you for this time, and thank you for your word, and thank you for your character, Lord, that you are consistent. No matter what, you are with us at all times. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And even when the world seems to be spinning in crazy ways, as it is right now with this virus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we thank you so much for that consistency, that you are our solid rock. You are our foundation. We can depend on you, and we do so now in times like this, maybe more than ever. So Lord, I pray that you will guide my words right now. Help me to accurately communicate your word, as I always ask. And I pray that you would use your word, even through this medium of video, to impact us, to help us, to teach us, to grow us, and that this passage in John 15 on abiding would be personalized in tremendous ways, in very special ways. And so we trust you with this. We commit ourselves to you. Teach us by your Spirit and by your living word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you maybe know, we are in this series we started last Sunday called The Vine. It's based on John chapter 15. Jesus uses this illustration as he's meeting with his disciples the night before his death. And I'd ask you to pick up a Bible, find a Bible, or bring it up on your phone. As you're watching the video, take a look at John 15. And I want to remind you of the scene here as you're finding a Bible, finding the passage. Remember the scene. I described it last week. Jesus and his disciples had left the upper room, the end of chapter 14 in John. They're about to leave. They walk out. And we don't know exactly what happened, but we do know they were on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was headed to what he knew would be his death. And as they headed east out of Jerusalem, it's very possible that they stopped at a vineyard. Maybe they just passed by it on the road, but that must have prompted this parable, this illustration that Jesus uses. And so in verse 1 of John 15, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." So Jesus went on, as we saw last week, to tell his disciples that they were the branches in this parable. He invited them to abide in him, to stay connected to him. And so if you were here last week, or you watched the video or joined us online last week, we talked about how our Lord's desire for his disciples was that they would abide in him, that they would be connected to him, and how that's his desire for us as well. As his followers, as believers, that we would continue to abide in him, stay connected in him. And only by doing that can we live fruitful and productive lives for God's glory. But we have to be connected to Jesus. We have to be connected, his life-giving nutrients flowing through us. This week, Beth found for me this grapevine. Maybe we'll use this a little bit through this next couple Sundays in this series. And maybe we'll plant it at our house, and maybe a year from now, or 2 years, 5 years, I don't know. Maybe we'll actually have some grapes. But this is the picture that Jesus is talking about. He uses this, and last week we said there's a joy in abiding, staying connected with Jesus. But there's also another character in the story, in the parable. The vine dresser has a role. He's the one in charge. He's the expert gardener. And so the vine dresser knows what to do with the branches in order to help them produce the very best fruit. And so today we're going to focus on the work of the Father in our lives to help make us fruitful. So the message today is titled The Pain of Pruning, because we know this part of it can be tough. But the work of God in our lives, on us as branches, is vitally important for us in our spiritual growth and our spiritual effectiveness. And so what I'd like to do as we look at this passage is to point out three different ways the vine dresser works with the vine. And it depends on the status of the branch as to what he does. So we're going to see three different kinds of branches here. Some that are unfruitful, some that are fruitful, and then branches that are not even connected to the vine at all. And each kind of branch needs something different from the vine dresser. So I know we don't have the screens and the Pro Presenter for you this morning. So if you can take some notes, just listen carefully. It's those three points. Those are our three principles, those three different kinds of branches. So the first is this: the vine dresser lifts up the branches that are unfruitful. We find this in verse 2. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, notice what Jesus is saying here. He claims these branches for himself. That's the first thing to notice. He says, every branch of mine. These branches belong to Jesus, even though they're not fruitful branches, right? So we can also know that if there's no fruit in our lives, then the Father, the vine dresser, is going to do something about that. He wants us to bear fruit. So there's something that has to happen on the vine, on the branch. And so what does he do? Well, I've been reading from the ESV, and the ESV translation here reads, he takes away. Now, that sounds kind of ominous, right? But the Greek word here is ero, and the word literally means simply, he takes. He takes. Where he takes it, what he does with it when he takes it, is left to the context that the word is in. So think about the metaphor for a minute, because I think the metaphor that Jesus is using, this parable, helps us understand the meaning of this word. I mentioned last week how impressed I was with the vineyards that were behind the home of Beth's parents up in Ontario, Canada. I talked about how her dad would sometimes let me ride the tractor down the rows of vines. And what I also remember is the way that he cared for those vineyards. And so I remember seeing him out sometimes tending to those vines out in the vineyard. And when there were branches that had dropped and were falling down onto the ground, he didn't leave them there, because if they stayed on the ground, they could get trampled underfoot. They could get run over by that tractor, especially if I was driving the tractor, they would likely get run over. In fact, they weren't even safe on the vine, probably with me on the tractor. But that needed to be picked up. Those branches needed to be lifted up. So he would take them and tie them to the wire of the fence. You know, when branches are down on the ground, they're also more susceptible to disease. They're susceptible to insects getting to them. So they're not going to produce fruit if they're hanging on the ground. So what did Beth's dad do? He would take them up. He would lift them up and tie them to the fence so that they'd be protected, so they'd be aerated, so they would receive the sunlight. So now watch this, because the Greek word ero in John 15:2 that we just read is also used in Matthew 9:6. There, Jesus is speaking to a lame man. He just healed this man, and he says, pick up your bed and go home. The word is ero, take up. Take up your bed. Now, Jesus didn't mean take up your bed and throw it away. He was saying, pick up your bed and carry it with you. So if we look at that translation of the word and that understanding that we talked about of vine dressing, then we can read the verse again this way. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes up. He takes up. God lifts up the branches, brushes them off, and ties them to the wire fence. I think this is what Jesus is talking about here. And it's a beautiful picture of God's grace. If you're lacking spiritual fruit in your life, God doesn't just cut you off. He lifts you up. He offers to clean you up, to forgive your sin, and to help you become more fruitful. Now, maybe this morning or whenever you're listening to this video, maybe that's you. Maybe you look at your life and you realize that you're a branch that belongs to Jesus, but you're stuck in your sin or in yourself, and you're not producing fruit for God's glory. But if that's the case, then know from this passage, know that God loves you, that you can repent of your sin, that the vine dresser wants to pick you up and clean you up, tie you back to his fence where you're protected and productive. That's God's heart desire for you. This is what it means to abide in Christ. So as we're learning from this passage, abiding in Jesus means that we're in a place where we can be cared for by the gentle hands of the vine dresser. Some of you know Michael and Karen Vincent, and hopefully if you were here last Sunday, you saw and heard their story a little bit of their ministry down in Honduras, Casa de Abby. And our hope was, had we been able to meet on this Sunday, that we were going to have a luncheon and they were going to be able to present their ministry. Well, that's not going to happen, but I would encourage you still to find out more. If you didn't, through a small group or Wednesday night, if you didn't get to hear about their ministry, please check it out. Go to their website, find out more about it. We're going to be telling you more about it once we get together. We are very much, as a church, invested in Casa de Abby and Michael and Karen Vincent and their ministry there in Honduras. But if you've ever heard Michael tell his story, and I ask his permission if I could share it briefly this morning. Michael grew up in a Christian home. He knew about the Lord. Perhaps even was at a young age and gave his life to Jesus. But he would tell you in his years after high school, he fell far. He fell into drug use and addiction and alcohol. He got in with the wrong crowd. He wasted a number of years of his life. That's the way he would describe it for you. And at the age of 37, he was close to the point of ending his life, when he just cried out to God, and God reached down and dramatically rescued him. He went through a recovery program and time, and at that point, Michael said to me, when I talked to him this week about this, he said, you know, I was beginning to wonder, at 37, had I already wasted my life? Was there even time left? But God had his plan. And in restoring Michael, picking him up, this is this picture. He lifted him up. He cleaned him off. He restored him. And the fruit of Michael's life is so evident now, evident in the mission trips that he's taken and the people that he's talked to about Jesus, evident in his part right here at Trinity Church in years past, and now is one of our missionaries, he and Karen, working together at Casa de Abby. The fruit of his life, because he repented and God picked him up, tied him back on the fence. That's the work of the vine dresser. He lifts up those branches that are unfruitful so they can bear fruit. The second principle is maybe even more amazing, because here's the principle. The vine dresser prunes back branches that are fruitful. So look at the second part of verse 2. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So now we're talking about fruitful branches. We're talking about growing Christians. And what does Jesus say? That God prunes, the vine dresser prunes, which sounds painful, right? Maybe even harsh, maybe unfair. Unless you think about the metaphor again. Every gardener knows that pruning means cutting, but that it's absolutely necessary for the health and growth of the plant, right? But the vine dresser must know how to prune. The vine dresser has to know when to prune. So again, I remember watching Beth's dad pruning. In this case, what I remember is pruning the fruit trees. They also had a little orchard and some fruit trees. And when I would watch him, I would be thinking, "What? I don't think he's doing this right. I mean, he's cutting off good, healthy, growing branches where there could be fruit. There's going to be less fruit because of this." But he knew as every gardener knows, as every vine dresser knows, you cut off live shoots that could potentially bear fruit so that the plant or the tree can bear even more fruit. That's the secret lesson of pruning. You have to cut back some healthy shoots in order to produce the best fruit. That's what pruning is all about. Because if you don't, and here's what happens. If you don't do that, if you don't prune, all the nutrients go into those leggy stems, the extra leaves, and the fruit ends up being small and underdeveloped and worthless, not even edible. So this too is a picture of God's grace, right? If you're abiding in Christ, if you're bearing spiritual fruit, God prunes to produce even more fruit, a better fruit in your life. He might cut away good things in your life that are not the best things that he wants to produce. He might call you away from less important activities to call you to some higher priorities. Maybe he's going to cut away some of the temporal things in your life to help keep you focused on the eternal things of life. He might even ask you to give up some generic kinds of commitments to make room for more fruitful commitments. You know, Bruce Wilkinson wrote a popular book called The Secrets of the Vine. It's been out for a number of years, and it's a study, really, of this passage in John 15. And I want to quote, give you a quote from that book. He says, "Pruning is God's way of making room in your life for more of what matters most. As you cooperate with him, you find yourself shaking your head, not over what you have left behind, but at the wonderful results you see flourishing all around." Pastor and author Warren Wiersbe says it this way: "Your heavenly Father is never nearer to you than when he is pruning you. Pruning hurts, but it helps. We may not enjoy it, but we need it." This is what Jesus had been doing for his disciples all along. Maybe they didn't even know it, but they're seeing it now. And so notice verse 3, what he says: "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Now catch this, that word for clean in that verse is just a different form of the same word that's translated prune in verse 2. So essentially Jesus is saying, you're already pruned. I've been pruning you or trimming you clean. That's why the word clean fits there too. I've trimmed you clean through my teaching of you, my mentoring, my discipling. You have been trimmed clean. Let me talk for a minute about how this might be our experience right now. I'm sure many of you are thinking about, if you watch TV, you're seeing it 24/7 on the news about the coronavirus. And maybe you're feeling frustrated by the closures and the cancellations and the way that all this is interrupting life. I know I'm really bummed about the cancellation of the NCAA basketball tournament. It's like, there's no basketball in March. What is March without March Madness? But the reality is those are small inconveniences. And some people right now, and this is, we need to be praying, because some people are enduring forced quarantines, serious quarantines, or they've had to go through multiple screenings or can't get to where they need to be or separated from their family. There's a lot of difficulty going on in our world right now, but all those steps are necessary to make sure that people are clean, that they're virus-free. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, God's pruning in your life might be uncomfortable. It might be inconvenient, but he is cleaning you. He's pruning you. He's prepping you for growth. He's refining you for fruitfulness. So I don't know what all that means in your life right now. I don't know what ways God may be pruning you, but if he is, praise him, thank him. Be grateful for the pruning hand of God. That's his loving hand at work in you to make you even more fruitful. There's one more kind of branch. Jesus mentions it in verse 6. It's our third principle. The vine dresser throws away branches that are not connected. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now this sounds serious, right? Who is Jesus referring to here? Well, let me just say, it seems to be what Jesus is describing is a very different situation. These are not just fruitless individuals. These are individuals who are not abiding in the vine at all. They're not connected. Jesus doesn't call them branches of mine. So it would seem like he's referring here to those like Judas who may have been following Jesus, may have thought of themselves as branches, but who were not actually connected to Jesus at all. So what does the vine dresser do with branches that are not attached to the vine? Well, Jesus refers again to his metaphor. Broken, withered branches out in the vineyard that are not connected to the vine are gathered up, they're thrown into the fire and burned. They're useless because they're not alive. They're dead branches. You know how it is when a dead branch falls into a live bush or hedge at your house. So I brought a piece of a vine. This one is very much dead. So if this was in your vineyard or laying across your living vine or in your bush, these are the kind of things you reach into there in the amongst the living stuff and you pull it out and you throw it to the side. You get rid of this thing because it's dead. It's useless. And so I think this is what Jesus is describing. It's the removal of the dead wood, the false branches. Like Jesus uses other metaphors for this in Matthew. It's the separation of the sheep and the goats, of the wheat from the tares. That God, the vine dresser, knows the branches who are abiding in his son, the vine. But he also knows the ones that may just be hanging around. They're not connected to the vine. And one day, Jesus says he will separate the one from the other. And so we have to read this passage, read this verse and say, which am I? What kind of branch am I? Am I a branch that's alive and abiding in the vine? Or am I a spiritually dead branch that's just hanging around the vine, just posing as a branch? If you don't connect yourself to the vine, one day the vine dresser will pick you up and throw you out. That's the stark message of the gospel. It's offered freely. Life is offered to us, but if we don't take it, if we don't accept that invitation of Jesus, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. You don't have to stay a dead branch. Jesus extends his invitation to us, to you, to all of us, to abide in him. As we're closing in this passage, this message, I want to describe for you another kind of tree. Crepe myrtle tree. You've probably seen them. You know what a crepe myrtle is. Beautiful little flowers, purple and white and pink, especially a summer bloom. And crepe myrtles are a tree that are often pruned significantly. I mean, you've seen them, right? Some people go by, and it's almost like there's just this stump of a trunk left in that fall or winter pruning, waiting for the summer growth. And there's a saying, perhaps you've heard this, Beth and I joke about it, we'll point one out, and we'll say, crepe myrtle, because it's like it looks like it's been killed. But of course, even when crepe myrtle happens to that crepe myrtle tree, it isn't dead. It's still alive. And so a healthy tree is still going to sprout new branches. And I think that's what we see in this passage. Sometimes God's ways may seem severe when he has to take us up, when he prunes us. And especially for those who are not connected at all, when they're picked up and thrown away. But God's goal, God's desire is that we be abiding in his son, connected to the vine, fruitful for his glory. And so the vine dresser works on you and on me to lift us up out of the mud when we're lacking fruit. He prunes us even when we're bearing fruit. But also know that if you're playing games, if you're just pretending to abide, he will address that too. Because the vine dresser loves you. And this is the powerful message of Hebrews 12. I'm going to close with this. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 5, the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Then he concludes in verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The goal of the vine dresser is always our fruitfulness. So abiding in Christ places us in the gentle hands of the expert vine dresser. So trust him. And at this time, when there's maybe a little more isolation in your life than you would like, when there are these virus fears all around us, maybe it is right now that God wants to use this passage. Maybe God has us. I'm confident God has us in John 15 for a reason right now, to remind us that now is the time to abide in Christ. And maybe getting rid of all the other distractions of usual life and schedule and the places we would be going and things we would be doing. Maybe God is taking that away so that we'll come back to the vine. Focus on abiding in Jesus. So I encourage you to do that. To spend time in God's Word. To spend time in prayer. When a lot of other things are taken away, when pruning is happening, realize that God is doing this for our benefit. He's doing this to make us healthier branches, fruitful branches. And it's all for His glory. Would you pray with me as we close? Dear God, thank you for this passage. Thank you for this very vivid illustration, for this parable from the lips of Jesus. Thank you that you, Lord God, as the vine dresser, that you have us in your gentle hands, that you work with us, you work on us. Lord, thank you that when we fall into sin, you're willing, when we repent, to pick us up, to lift us up, to clean us off and to tie us back on to the rail where we need to be. And Lord, thank you that even when things are going well and when life is good, when we're abiding and we're fruitful, that still you desire more and that you work in our lives to make us even more fruitful. You prune us, taking away the good to produce the best. Lord, we ask for that. We desire that. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody listening to this message and hearing this prayer, and Lord, they're not sure they're even connected to the vine at all, that they have a relationship with Jesus at all, then Lord, please, I pray that you would call them to yourself, that you would draw them to come to you and ask you to forgive their sin, that they would place their faith in Jesus for their salvation, and that you would bestow on them the gift of eternal life so that they might forever abide in the vine, and that your life would flow through them so that your fruit could be produced in them. Lord, this is our prayer today and every day. Lord, as we endure this time of inconveniences, of changes in schedule and plans, Lord, take us back to your word. Take us back to prayer. Take us back to worship. Help us to abide in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Trinity Church. Thanks for tuning in. We'll keep touch through this week. We love you. Abide in Jesus.